Obscured by noble-sounding verbiage, the text of the World Economic Forum's Agenda 2030 hides a hideous truth. When you look past the sustainable development jargon, it's clear they want to take away your goods, such as electrical appliances, motor vehicles, and even property rights. This analysis by Dr. Joseph Mercola has been fact-checked. Story at a glance. Investigative journalist Whitney Webb reveals the inner workings of the World Economic Forum, WEF, the driving force behind the Great Reset. Beneath WEF's benevolent surface, it becomes clear that corporatism and, more aptly, fascism, are its modus operandi. WEF's board of trustees is packed with powerful and prominent representatives from government and multinational corporations like BlackRock, Salesforce, and Nestlé. WEF supports the merging of man and machine, or transhumanism, and its fourth industrial revolution aims to use wearable and implantable technology to surveil your thoughts and launch a digital dictatorship. Once implemented, a digital dictatorship will be almost impossible to escape from. One way to stop it is to not comply or utilize these technologies. Curious about the inner workings of the World Economic Forum, WEF, the driving force behind the Great Reset? Set aside 30 minutes to watch investigative journalist Whitney Webb speak with Mint Press News in the video above. Point 1. Every year in January, WEF holds its annual meeting in Davos, Switzerland. The 2023 theme was Cooperation in a Fragmented World, with WEF noting, the world today is at a critical inflection point. The sheer number of ongoing crises calls for bold collective action. 2. Their actions, however, while carefully packaged to appear altruistic, and steeped in warm and fuzzy buzzwords like green and sustainable, will ultimately propel its small circle further into power while all but guaranteeing a downtrodden populace. If you so much as dip your finger beneath WEF's surface, it becomes clear that corporatism and, more aptly, fascism, are its modus operandi. WEF promotes fascist ideology. WEF often speaks about the transformative potential of public-private partnerships. According to WEF, 3. The private sector needs to speak the language of social change, and the public sector needs to create economic incentives to harness the private sector's innovation and expertise to address society's challenges. With shared goals, targeted action, and monitored impact, we can move beyond dialogue and aspiration to the co-creation of a more inclusive, prosperous, and sustainable future. It sounds good in theory, but what, exactly, is a public-private partnership? It's when private entities like multinational corporations join with the public sector, putting the two on equal ground. The problem is that most politicians receive money and other favors from these same multinational corporations, so many facets of the government are essentially owned by these corporations. In this way, Webb says, it's really more of a private-private partnership, and what you have there is essentially a means of implementing specific policies being controlled, more often than not, by the corporate sector and promoting what is essentially a fusion of the private and public sector. 4. Webb compares this ideology to that of Benito Mussolini, founder of Italy's National Fascist Party. 5. Mussolini defined his particular brand of fascism in the early and mid-20th century as corporatism, a merging of private and public power. Looking at it through that frame of reference, essentially the World Economic Forum is promoting a fascistic ideology around the world. They have a habit of creating policies through both the public-private partnerships that are housed within the World Economic Forum and affiliated with but external to the World Economic Forum. Those policies are given then to governments around the world, and many governments around the world have a lot of prominent officials who in the past have been trained by the leadership programs of the World Economic Forum and its affiliates. A closer look at WEF's Board of Trustees. Many have heard of Klaus Schwab, WEF co-founder and chairman. But it's also important to delve into WEF's Board of Trustees, which is packed with powerful and prominent representatives from multinational corporations. It includes 6. Kristalina Georgieva, head of the International Monetary Fund, IMF. Al Gore, former vice president of the U.S. Larry Fink, BlackRock CEO. Mark Benioff, co-founder and CEO of Salesforce. Mark Schneider, CEO of Nestlé, one of the co-founders of the Carlyle Group, which has extensive intelligence connections. These are the people that are essentially driving this public partnership model around the world, and they have very specific policy agendas that, again, the WEF drafts, policy papers and white papers. These are sent and then implemented by governments around the world, Webb says. Point 7. This includes a strategic alliance WEF entered into with the United Nations in 2019, which called for the UN to use public-private partnerships as the model for nearly all policies that it implements, most specifically the implementation of the 17 Sustainable Development Goals, sometimes referred to as Agenda 2030. 8. Agenda 2030 is composed of 17 Sustainable Development Goals with 169 specific targets to be imposed across the globe. While sustainable development sounds like a perfectly reasonable goal, this noble-sounding verbiage hides a hideous truth, as these plans are not what they claim to be. Agenda 2030 is aimed at reducing middle-class consumption of basic goods and energy, which includes limiting, with an eye toward eliminating, property rights and private ownership for future generations, along with targeting such luxuries as ownership of electric appliances and motor vehicles, along with suburban housing and air conditioning. Web ads. 9. It's worth pointing out that in the late 90s at the World Economic Forum annual meeting, the then head of the UN, Kofi Annan, essentially said that the World Economic Forum had been in part responsible for what he referred to as a silent revolution at the UN, where the UN, instead of championing the public sectors of the world, which is how most people think of the UN, they would instead begin to prioritize the needs of the businesses of the world. So multinational corporations, over the past several decades, the World Economic Forum being a major part of this, the United Nations has been pushed to essentially prioritize corporate needs over public needs. Who is Klaus Schwab? Investigative journalist Johnny Vedmore has dug deeply into Schwab and his family history, revealing that Schwab's father, Eugen Schwab, ran the Ravensburg branch of a company called Escher Wyss during World War II, producing different components needed by the Nazi war machine and the Nazi atomic bomb program. 10. Vedmore revealed three of Schwab's mentors, John K. Galbraith, a Canadian-American economist, diplomat and public policymaker, Herman Kahn, who created concepts on nuclear deterrence that became official military policy, and Henry A. Kissinger, who recruited Schwab at a Harvard International Seminar, which was funded by the US CIA. If you have a decent knowledge of Klaus Schwab's history, you will know that he attended Harvard in the 1960s, where he would meet then-Professor Henry A. Kissinger, a man with whom Schwab would form a lifelong friendship, Vedmore explained. Further, 11. There were three extremely powerful and influential men, Kissinger among them, who would lead Klaus Schwab towards their ultimate goal of complete American empire-aligned global domination via the creation of social and economic policies. In addition, two of the men were at the core of manufacturing the ever-present threat of global thermonuclear war. Their paths would cross and coalesce during the 1960s. They recruited Klaus Schwab through a CIA-funded program, and they were the real driving force behind the creation of the World Economic Forum. Early WEF affiliations can also be tied back to the Club of Rome, which aligned with Neo-Malthusianism, the idea that an overly large population would decimate resources, and was intending to implement a global depopulation agenda. Transhumanism and the Fourth Industrial Revolution. No discussion of WEF would be complete without delving into transhumanism, a term coined by Julian Huxley, brother of Aldous Huxley, who wrote Brave New World. Julian Huxley, however, was the president of the British Eugenics Society and an ardent supporter of eugenics ideology, Webb says. A decade later, he wrote a book, New Bottles for New Wine, explaining that advances in technology had led to a new eugenics, which he referred to as the merging of man and machine, or transhumanism. 12. Ever since then, Webb says, transhumanism has picked up steam. A lot of its supporters were people that historically have had ties to the eugenics movement. The Rockefeller Foundation is a really good example of that. 13. Schwab is another, who developed the term the Fourth Industrial Revolution, which brings in human-machine symbiosis. One of Schwab's top advisors, transhumanist Yuval Noah Harari, PhD, openly admits data might enable globalists to do more than just build digital dictatorship. Via technology in the form of wearables and implants, like brain chips, the idea is to one day surveil your very thoughts. Humans are now hackable animals, Harari said. Humans have this soul or spirit and they have free will, and nobody knows what's happening inside me, so whatever I choose, whether in the election or whether in the supermarket, this is my free will. That's over. 14. Webb explains. 15. Harari has made the point that the Fourth Industrial Revolution is different from past industrial revolutions because, in the late 19th century, you had two classes, the exploited and the unexploited. And he says, in contrast, Now the fourth industrial revolution will mean there will be three classes, the unexploited, the exploited and the irrelevant. And he argues that it's much better to be exploited than irrelevant. In this scenario, the unexploited would be the oligarchs of society. He's essentially admitting that the fourth industrial revolution is a recipe for neo-feudalism, one that's managed by extremely invasive, advanced technology. Eventually, the goal is to make implantable devices capable of reading your thoughts as commonplace as cell phones are today. 16. Harari, at World Economic Forum meetings, says the point that technology gets into your body and is capable of surveilling your thoughts is the line that the world crosses into digital dictatorship, where the leadership will be able to know what you really think about them and what you really think about issues. And if you don't agree, to use his words, you'll end up in the gulag the next morning. Your right to dissent is threatened. The implications of mass surveillance policies being promoted by WEF is an unconstitutional monitoring of dissent, with the intent of stamping it out. Big tech is working with military and intelligence agencies toward this end, including using what's known as predictive policing to detect pre-crime. This describes the use of AI algorithms that comb through data on individuals' internet activity to profile you and decide if you I commit some sort of crime in the future. If we invite surveillance onto and into our bodies, we are crossing a red line into a tech-fueled dystopia that would result in a digital dictatorship that, once implemented, will be almost impossible to escape from, Webb says. 17. So, what can you do? The most obvious way to stop it would be to not comply or utilize these technologies that can be used to surveil you in these ways, she explains. A lot of this technology is marketed as convenient, such as biometric data, but the more of us that don't comply, the less successful this agenda will be. 18.